Open your please for our second reading to 2 Kings chapter 11. Second Kings chapter 11, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. But Jehosheba, the daughter of the king of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons which were slain. And they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her in the house of the Lord 6 years, and Athaliah did reign over the land. And the 7th year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with the captains and the guard, and brought them to him into the house of the Lord, and made a covenant with them, and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord, and showed them the king's son. And he commanded them, saying, "This is the thing that ye shall do. A third part of you that enter in on the Sabbath shall even be keepers of the watch of the king's house. And a third part shall be at the gate of Sur, and a third part at the gate behind the guard, so that ye keep the watch of the house, that it be not broken down. And two parts of all you that go forth on the Sabbath, even they shall keep the watch of the house of the Lord about the king. And ye shall compass the king round about, every man with his weapons in his hand. And he that cometh within the ranges, let him be slain. And be ye with the king as he goeth out and as he cometh in." And the captains over the hundreds did according to all things that Jehoiada the priest commanded. And they took every man his men that were to come in on the Sabbath with them that should go out on the Sabbath, and came to Jehoiada the priest. And to the captains over hundreds did the priest give King David's spears and shields that were in the temple of the Lord. And the guard stood, every man with his weapons in his hand, round about the king, from the right corner of the temple to the left corner of the temple, along by the altar and the temple. And he brought forth the king's son, and put the crown upon him, and gave him the testimony. And they made him king, and anointed him, and they clapped their hands, and said, "God save the king." And when Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and of the people, she came to the people into the temple of the Lord. And when she looked, behold, the king stood by a pillar, as the manner was, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew with trumpets. And Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, "Treason! Treason!" But Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of the hundreds, the officers of the hosts, and said unto them, "Have her forth without the ranges, and him that followeth her, kill her," or "kill with the sword." For the priest had said, "Let her not be slain in the house of the Lord." And they laid hands on her, and she went by the way, by the which the horses came into the king's house, and there was slain. And Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people, that they should be the Lord's people, between the king also and the people. And all the people of the land went into the house of Baal, and break it down. His altars and his images break they in pieces thoroughly, and slew Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. And the priest appointed officers over the house of the Lord. And he took the rulers over hundreds, and the captains, and the guard, and all the people of the land, and they brought down the king from the house of the Lord, and came by the way of the gate of the guard to the king's house. And he sat on the throne of the kings. And all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was in quiet, and they slew Athaliah with the sword beside the king's house. 7 years old was Jehoash when he began to reign. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so in chapter 11, then, remember at the end of chapter 10, Jehu had slain both Ahaziah and the northern king as well. And so then, Ahaziah was dead. His mother Athaliah, who was the daughter of whom? Remember? The daughter of Ahab. And Ahab has the notorious reputation of bringing Baal worship into Israel, the northern kingdom, and Athaliah brought it south into the southern kingdom, being his daughter. And so notice a little bit later on in this chapter that there's a house of Baal that is built up in the city, and priests and altars and so on. All the worship of Baal is going on in the holy city. All right, so when Athaliah saw that her son Ahaziah was dead, then she went ahead and killed the rest of any potential rival to the throne. And what she did when she did so is she flew up in the face of heaven itself and against the covenant that God made with David, you will always have a man to sit on the throne of Israel. She sought to undo that administration of the covenant of grace. Not a good plan. Not a good plan to rise up against the Lord's covenant of grace. So there is a faithful woman in Israel, and we want to see the contrast between the unfaithful woman and the faithful woman here. Jehosheba. And she is also of the royal house. She is the daughter of King Joram and sister to Ahaziah, perhaps by another mother. We're not told exactly here. And so what we see then is she is a faithful Israelite woman, and she knows the covenant of David that God made with David, and so she finds one of the babies that are still alive that Athaliah has not yet slain, and she hides him in the bedchamber, one of the priest's bedchambers in the house of the Lord. Now we might want to just recognize her sagacity in so doing. Where's the last place you expect to find Athaliah? In the house of the Lord. She's going to be over at Baal house worshiping, right? And so this little tyke, Jehoash or Joash, is hid for 6 years in the house of the Lord. And only Jehosheba and perhaps a few other intimate folks there and the high priest Jehoiada know about his existence. Athaliah is ruling over the nation. And we can understand what that rule would be like. We have seen her bloodthirsty tendencies, and we have also seen her idolatry. All right, so we have all of that going on. Now, in his seventh year, as soon as he turns seven, Jehoiada says, it is time. It is time for him, then, to take his place as king, and it is time for us to be rid of this wicked ruler Athaliah. And so, he calls in. Notice what it says there in verse 4. He calls the rulers over hundreds with the captains of the guard, and he brought them into the house of the Lord and made a covenant with them. Okay, so I believe the captains of the guard would be those temple guardians, the Levites with swords, in other words, and then the rulers of the people. So notice that this is a joint effort between the protectors of the temple and the rulers of the land. It's a joint effort. And he makes a covenant with them. And what is the covenant? What is the first covenant that he makes with them? He swears them, first of all, to secrecy. That they, when they learn about Joash, that they will not go anywhere else, but they will stay and do what they need to do with regard to anointing him king and then also getting rid of Athaliah. So that's the first covenant made. And he takes an oath of them for that covenant. Notice, oath taking in matters of weight and moment is good. It's a good thing. All right, so then, here's what we shall do. And he makes this plan. And some of the plan is given in language that we don't quite understand. So I want to just maybe open that up a little bit. He says, first of all, we're going to form, those of you that are familiar with military terms, a phalanx around the king. Okay, a guard. We're going to be before him, behind him, and on his sides. We're going to form I don't know if it was a square or a diamond shape, but we're going to form a phalanx around him so that he is protected. And all of you are going to have your weapons not in your sheath, but in your hand. So we're going to come in, we're going to come down from one of those bedchambers where this little tyke has been kept all these years, and we're going to descend into the main floor of the temple, and we're going to have this phalanx around the king, and all of you are going to be armed and ready to defend him in case anyone would come toward him. And then he says, if anyone comes within the ranges there is the Hebrew word which means within the formation. And so if anyone breaches the formation that we have formed around the king, let him be killed. In other words, you have your weapons in your hand. You know how to use them. Keep everyone at bay. If anyone comes at you and violates this boundary of the formation that we have formed, it is to do the king harm. Let him be put to death. And so they do. And they take him by the pillar of the temple, which was the custom. They anoint him. They cry out, God save the king. They blow the trumpets. They do everything that Israel did for the establishment of a new monarch. Athaliah, for her part, she hears what's going on. And she comes into the temple, probably the first time she's been there in a long time. And she sees him standing by the column. She's heard the blowing of the trumpets. She's heard the shout, God save the king. She understands that he's being installed as king. And what does she say? Treason. She shows herself to be a good propagandist. Treason. From her perspective, it could be no other thing but treason. And so we learn in this passage what it is to hold a perspective other than God's perspective. Note the irony. Treason, she says. What was it to slay all of the seed royal? What was it to work against God and his covenant with David? Was that not treason against the Most High? And so notice a couple of uses here. First of all, the status quo is not necessarily what it ought to be. According to the status quo, what they were doing was treason, but not according to the absolute, not according to the Word of God. She was the one who had committed treason. So we learn a little bit about propaganda and spin and perspectives, and maybe we might also say that in our culture, that's a lesson we probably don't need. We know that one pretty well. So then, that's when Jehoiada says, have her without the ranges. Okay, now it's time to break formation. Break formation, go get her, and kill her. That's what Jehoiada says. Of course, she was a murderess. This was a force of civil magistracy, so they had the right to do that. This is not a rabble mob rising up in anarchy. And so they had the right to kill Athaliah not only as an idolater, but also as a murderess. And so she was put to death. And Jehoiada himself was installed to be king. And then there's only one point of business left. What's that? Go over to the house of Baal and tear it down. Tear it down. Tear down those monuments of idolatry. Tear them down. And take those priests that have led the people astray, that have offered the people not gospel message and holy spiritual healing message, but instead they have offered them soul murder, then do this, take them out. So all the people of the land went to the house of Baal, break it down, his altars, his images, they slew in pieces, and they slew Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars, and the priest appointed officers over the house of the Lord. Because in those days there were none. They had been run out or killed. All right, so then, in verses 19 through the end of the chapter, is the final installation, and they took the rulers over hundreds, captains of the guard, and all the people of the land, and they brought down the king from the house of the Lord, and came by the way of the gate of the guard to the king's house, and he sat on the throne of kings. Yes, a symbolic action, but that symbol told the people and assured them that now they had a Davidic king on the throne once again. So we wrap up and put a nice bow on the topic. We put the chapter on the top of the column that they built that day. Now we have a kingdom that is indeed given to the Lord. And in support of that, then, Jehoiada, the high priest, causes the people to take a covenant to be the Lord's people. Right? Okay. Thus ends the reading, then. We're way out of time on 2 Kings chapter 11.